Well, again, good morning. Good morning to you. So thank you. My name is George Davis. Great to see you this morning. Great to see families together for on a family worship Sunday. So that's great. And joining me is Deb Hinkle, who leads our family ministry. So thank you for your assistance this morning. And Deb, as you know, we're currently in this series. In fact, we're wrapping up a series this morning where we've been answering tough questions. We ask you a few months ago to submit questions. We got a great response, and that really led into this series entitled Living with Life's Tough Questions, as we've been responding to questions that you submitted. So we're wrapping up that today. Next week, we are starting a new series in Daniel. I'll talk about that just a bit later in the service. But this morning, Deb, I think we are dealing with perhaps the most intriguing and unusual question that was submitted.
That's right.
We got somewhere between 150 and 200 responses, but this had to be the most unusual. The question was, where is God in ping pong? And I have to admit, I've never gotten that question before. Now, I do acknowledge, growing up in Dallas, I did grow up with the idea that God had a football team. And somehow, I do believe he has been punishing that team for the last 20 years. That's right. Just read our injury report. But anyway, I never thought about where's God in ping pong. But you know, as we worked through the questions and looked at that, I think the underlying question, and this is really our question for the morning, is this: where is God in my everyday routine? You know, how do I see God in my everyday routine? Deb, when you think about that question, what comes to mind?
Yeah, as we were talking and I was thinking about that, what really came to my mind was simply this. I think how we view God will have a lot to say as to how we will see him in our everyday routine. So for instance, if you have somebody in your life that you would prefer not seeing every day for whatever reason, you're going to do something to avoid that person, to not actually have to engage them as much. And if somehow I think we believe that God is unfair, or he's a taskmaster, or he only loves me when I'm good, or those kinds of things, I think we're less likely to look for him in our everyday routine because we have a wrong perspective. I know for me, one of the verses in the Bible that really helped me change my viewpoint was from Zephaniah, and it's chapter 3, verse 17, and it says this: "The Lord your God is with you. He is mighty to save. He will take great delight in you. He will quiet you with his love. He will rejoice over you with singing." You know, and when there was this sense of God loves me so much, he rejoices over me with singing, there was this shift in my thinking that said, I want to be with that kind of God. I want to look for him in my everyday routine. I want him to be a part of my everyday life.
I know as we talked, you actually shared maybe a life moment where this truth of engaging God in everyday life really became real to you.
Yeah. And you know, we have a lot of parents out here this morning, and they have children, and many of those children are in sports or are contemplating sports. Well, my husband and I have three sons, and a couple of them played sports. And, you know, there is a level of angst and stress as a parent when you watch your child play a sport, right? Because you want them to do well. Sometimes the angst, though, is at the coach, because the coach isn't doing what you think the coach should do, like primarily playing your child. None of you, I'm sure, ever felt that way. But this was when one of our sons was in college. So we're not talking about an 8-year-old or a 12-year-old. We were at a football game. And I'm sitting in the stands, and I'm getting restless, and I'm getting, like, really upset, because I think my son could play better than the kid who's in there playing. All right? Any of you ever have those thoughts? But it was the kind of thing that it's almost like God grabbed my attention. He goes, what are you doing? So I literally got down off the stands, walked behind them, and I began to just seek the Lord to calm my heart. And the verse he brought to mind was, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding, and all your ways acknowledge him. And it just brought me such a sense of peace that it was almost an aha moment in realizing just how much God wants to be in my everyday routine. And I walked back up in the stands with a renewed sense of just calm and peace, and whatever happened was okay. Now, the end of the story is he did get put in the football game and he played really well. So, but I don't want you to see that. That's not the takeaway. The takeaway was the peace that God gave.
Oh, that's great. And, you know, I think it's so important to really wrestle with this question. You know, where's God in my everyday routine? Or how do I see God in my everyday routine? Because that question really does come to mind when we take Scripture seriously. As I was preparing this week, I was struck by a comment made by author John Ortberg in one of his books. He makes this observation that the most recurring promise in Scripture is this: I will be with you. I will be with you. I will be with you. And when you take the storyline of Scripture seriously, that promise just pops out at you. I mean, we go back, for instance, right to God's call of Abraham. It's his redemptive plan. His rescue plan gets underway, and God promises, I'm going to be with you. I'm going to bless the world through you. And the storyline continues, and we see the nation of Israel gathered at Sinai, and in Exodus 19, God says, look, I have brought you to myself. I'm preparing you for mission, and I'm going to be with you all along the way. And then, of course, we fast forward to the life and times of Jesus and his ministry and the Great Commission. And once again, we hear these words, I will be with you, echoing these rich Old Testament promises. So when we take Scripture seriously, we are confronted with this promise. I will be with you. I will be with you. So what we want to do over the next few moments is just think about, what is it like for us to take that promise seriously? What does it look like for you to be aware of God, to engage God in your everyday routine? And what we're going to do this morning is simply tell stories. Stories from all kinds of people, all different age groups. And as you hear these different stories, this is my challenge to you. What does it look like for me to engage God in my everyday routine? As you hear just stories from others, just wrestle with, what does this look like in my life? So that's what we're going to do this morning. And so with that in mind, Deb, would you introduce this video we're going to see?
George, excuse me. George just mentioned that we're going to hear stories. And so in order for those stories to be complete, and as we think about a family Sunday, those stories are going to start with some children. And so earlier this week, we interviewed two children, a boy and a girl, and we just asked them questions to get them to reflect back to us, how do they see God in their everyday routine? And as you watch this video, just think about how God begins so early in our lives to reveal himself to us every day.
My name is Max, and I'm in fourth grade, and I'm 9.
My name is Megan, and I'm 8. I'm in third grade.
I pray when I'm having a really hard time, and I feel like God is almost there comforting me. I had my first year of PSSAs last year, and I was really nervous, and I had butterflies in my stomach. And God helped me to calm my spirit down.
Once we had a storm where the thunder shook our house, and I was really scared, and I thought that God would protect me from anything that happened.
I really thought about him when I was at my baptism, and I was stepping up to the microphone and about to read my testimony, and I was really nervous. But I felt like God's spirit really shined through and helped me get through that and helped me tell my story really well.
When I do school, he helps me focus because I'm really good at letting my mind wander off.
He's really given me a desire to help other people. So he's even prompted me to make a caring basket where I have bandages and other things in it. And I just go around and give them to people who are in need.
When I go to sleep, I'm afraid of the dark, and I pray so that I am not afraid. He gives me courage.
My dad and I read the Bible together, and even though I've heard the story many, many times, I can really connect to how the Bible, the people in the Bible are related to my life and how I do things.
I read my Bible every day when I read it, I think God really loves me if he sent his son to die on the cross.
Isn't that great? I love that line. My mind does tend to wander off. How many of us can relate to that? So we started with kids, and now we're going to kind of move up chronologically. So we've got two of our students from our core ministry. So I'm going to let you guys introduce yourself. Cameron, I'll let you introduce us. Yourself. Tell me where you go to school and what grade you're in.
Okay. I'm Cameron Mart. My dad is Pastor Craig Mart of the middle school, and I go to Hershey High School, and I'm a senior.
I'm CC Phillips, and I am a junior at Palmyra.
All right, well, guys, we had a great time this week just talking about some of these questions, and what was really cool is to find out just how different the two of you are and the way that you see God so differently and what you do in your routine. So tell us a little about that. What do you do in your everyday life to help you be aware of God's presence? CC, start us off.
When I think about seeing God in my everyday routine, what pops into my head is, oh, I should read my Bible every day, and oh, yeah, pray to God all the time for every little thing. But what really strikes me is that it's not exactly that. That works for some people, but it's not exactly how everybody sees God. And I see God in the kids that I work in. I work with the 45 kids, and I really see God shining through them when I work with them. I see God when I listen to music and the lyrics of Christian bands. And it's, my mom sees it in nature. I can't see it in nature, but she does. And we all see God in different ways, and we shouldn't try to see God in one specific way because it's different for everybody.
Thanks, Cece. Cameron.
So for me, it's kind of like God helps me stay organized in everything I do throughout my daily life because I work at Chocolate World, go to Hershey High School, so it just does, and come to church here and do little different things, helping extra. And it can be a lot to deal with, and if I don't have a solid foundation in God, it can be really, really stressful. I mean, it still is, but God helps comfort that to a certain level where it's bearable, and I can deal with it.
Cool. Thanks, you too.
Yeah, I mean, what one of the things we appreciated in talking with you guys this week was just the reality you're very different. So, mm-hmm. I mean, he's a little more structured than you are, Cece, as we learned. Tell me about the doodling that is part of your everyday routine in school.
Little things like, I'll walk through the halls with my headphones on, like blasting Skillet, because I like rock. And I'll just listen to the lyrics, and it'll just open my mind up. And all of a sudden, I'll see a kid that I pass every day, and she doesn't look so great. And I'll say hi, and I'll try to cheer her up. And just little things like that... It's not necessarily reading my Bible. It's not structured. It's just random. It's little random things.
Whereas you, Cameron, are more structured. And just in terms engineering is definitely in your future, my friend. So that's cool. We are wired differently, all of us. Okay, so now, obviously, we just started a new academic year, right? We're just getting into that routine. I hope that's going okay for you. Hope you say that in a month. That's great. So we're just getting back in that routine in our house. But so as you guys start this new academic year, are there things you want to do differently, things you want to see happen just as you engage God throughout the year?
So I kind of have the Bible or school answers to read my Bible more. But because when you get coming back from a trip, like I came back from Challenge, Louisville, Kentucky, in the summer, they gave us a devotion kind of thing, and I've known that devotions daily don't work as well as if I'm intentional about finding a specific scripture to read. So I'm going to think about doing Proverbs just to maybe a chapter a day, because like George said, there's 31 of them for the month. So funny how that works. So that's my main thing, is just I'm going to try to pick a certain block of scripture just to focus on instead of having a structured devotion.
Cool.
I didn't do the challenge devotional either. I can't do that. Like, I'd imagine you being structured, you'd be able to do that, but anyway. For me, since I work with 45, I try to overflow into their lives as much as possible, and they overflow into my life as well. I learn a lot from them. I feel like I learn just as much from them as they do from me, but there's a difference between learning from, like, adults and learning from the kids you work with, and from, like, learning from peers and being able to talk about scripture with them. And a lot of times, like, I'll go through and read a scripture, and that'll be it. I'll just read it, and I'll be done. But I want to get into the habit of discussing it with my friends and being able to connect with them. And even if it's just, like, sitting down and, hey, there's some stuff going on in my life that I want to talk about with you. And just being able to get together with them.
Okay. Well, listen, I want to thank both of you for sharing part of your story with us this morning. Would you help me in thanking these guys? Thank you for the way you're invested in ministry, both inside and outside the church. Cece, thank you for investing in our kids. It is so cool for our kids to have teenagers investing in them in meaningful ways, don't you think? I think that is really cool. So, well, you guys, you can be seated. Thank you. You mentioned, you know, we were talking about the beginning of school, and we just want to take a moment just to pray about that reality. As I said, at our house, we're starting the new routine of a new school year. We're even adjusting to just having one kid at home now that two are at college. And all the realities of that, many of you are parents as well. And I just wanted to pray for you as we start this new school year, just about the reality of how can we as parents really foster environments in our homes where we're wanting our kids to engage God in meaningful ways. So with that in mind, for those of us who have parent or who have kids still at home, would you join me in standing right now? Would you do that if you've got kids still at home? That's great. And just as a reminder, parent to parent, and now pastor to parent, I just want you to know you're not in this alone, that we as a church community want to partner with you. We want to be engaged. And so with that in mind, I'm also going to ask those of you, if you are a volunteer, if you serve in our Kid Step ministries, or if you serve in our core student ministries, would you join them in standing right now? Would you do that? Of course, a lot of you who are parents are also serving, so thank you for that. So we're standing together as parents, as volunteers, and I want to just pray a prayer of commissioning for you. Pray for you. As we begin this new academic year, would you join me in prayer? Gracious God, as we stand together, we stand as parents, we stand as volunteers, we stand as people seeking to build into the lives of kids at various ages, build into them as parents, build into them as leaders and volunteers in the life of our church ministries. And so, Father, now as we begin this new academic year, I pray for us. I pray that we will just engage the opportunities you're giving us. I pray that we'll seek to be intentional as parents about building into our kids in meaningful ways. I pray as volunteers that as we engage our students on Sundays or during the middle of the week, that we will do so with the sense that you have called us. And you have equipped us in such a way that as we walk with you, as we live with you, we really can overflow in meaningful ways into the lives of these kids whom we're serving and leading. So thank you for that. May we enter this new academic year with a sense of expectancy because you promised to be with us. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You can be seated. Well, as we kind of continue moving up chronologically, we're now joined by this group of adults, and I'm going to let you guys go around and introduce yourselves. Charlie, I'm going to begin with you, and we can just work our way.
Sure. My name is Charlie Chappell. We have been attending Hershey Free for about 4 years with my wife and I when we moved into the area, and you'll often find us at 10:30 helping out with middle school core on Sunday mornings.
And I'm Christine Chapel. We have four children. Benjamin is 14, Anna is 12, William is 10, and Elena is 7 and a half.
And that is very important.
Yes, it is.
And I'm Nancy Natakovin. I'm married to my husband, Dave. We have five children who, three are married and two more are almost married, one September, one in October. And our first grandchild is due 5 days before the first wedding.
Congratulations. I'm Dave Natakovin. Nancy and I met here 36 years ago. So we've been a big part of this church. And I'm going to add real quickly, I would just encourage you for parents, get rooted into a church and stay there. Don't church hop. And I want to say this also, this was not planned. For a parent, when a parent, particularly a father, loses interest in church, children lose interest in God. That's my observation.
Thanks, Dave. So.
My name's Ellen Dybel, and I've been attending Hershey Free 40 years.
Good.
All right, so we have some veterans here and a couple of newbies, so that's pretty good. Well, we had a great time on the couch earlier this week just talking about some of these questions and how you see God in your everyday routine. So the first question I want to ask you is simply this. What do you do to help you become more aware of God's presence in your everyday lives? So who wants to start us off?
I'll go ahead and start.
Okay.
So I liked your comment about who is God and do you want to spend time with him? Because he is with you all day long, but it really stinks to be with someone who doesn't want to be with you. It's not fun. So I think just waking up with that attitude of this is God's day and you know this is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. And you'll hear later, she's not a morning person. I very much am a morning person, but I keel over at 9:30 at night. But I wake up at about 6 o'clock. We have a middle schooler and a high schooler, so they get on the bus at 7. And then I have two elementary school kids who get on the bus at 8. So I get up with the kids, help get breakfast made, help get the daily routine started, and just really take advantage of that time that they are home. The middle schooler, Ben and Anna, I do a devotional with them in the mornings just to get our minds in the right place, get our day started thinking about God first, and just knowing that this time that I have with them is really short, so using it wisely. And before they get on the bus, I pray with them at the doorway, send off my little Jesus ambassadors to school, and then once they get on the bus, I run upstairs, wake up round two, and do it again, and read Bible stories with them, and pray with them, and talk with them. We also use that time to really talk about what's going on in their friendships, what's going on in their lives, what can we pray about, what can we encourage you in, and just have a really open attitude for them to discuss God and discuss their friends and discuss issues. And then once the 8 o'clock crew gets on the bus, that's my time to have my devotional in peace and quiet with a nice cup of coffee.
Yeah. Sounds like a busy morning.
Yeah, it is. And like a lot of people, I mean, my day is filled with very busy days at work, and I know many times I go through my day and there's just not even a moment to breathe. So I find what I have to do is make sure that I'm getting up early in the morning to find my time to have that devotional, because if I don't do that, you know, the day will be gone before I know it, and, you know, you don't have that, and I need that to be grounded at the beginning of the day.
Good. Thanks, Charlie. Ellen, you want to tell us about something you do in your office?
Yeah, I'm an office manager for a school photography studio, so right now it's just very chaotic. What I try to do is get to work at 6 in the morning, and I turn on Christian music and just kind of listen to that, trying to get my mindset in the right order so that as the day unfolds and it becomes even more chaotic, that I am more apt to respond than I am to react the way that I would like to.
That's neat.
Thank you.
Yeah, I love the phrase you used earlier when we were talking about this, just creating a place of worship in my workplace. That's kind of a very vivid image.
Very cool.
You guys?
For me, I'd like to mention the word persistent. I try to persistently seek the Lord, and I don't use the word consistent because the reality is I'm a weak person, and so there can be days and sometimes weeks where I'm not in the scriptures as much as I'd like to be, but I persistently seek the Lord. And the word uses the word perseverance a lot. And I mentioned the first service, you know, the Bible talks a lot about the fact that we have an earthly nature that wages war against our soul. We all have to deal with that, and sometimes that keeps us from being as, quote, consistent as we'd like to be. But the goal is to understand that God's love is not altered by whether we read the Bible or not. It doesn't change it one bit. God's love for us is perfect, and so you got to keep coming back to the reality that God loves us, and that is such an encouragement to me. One thing I strive to do, I don't do it every day, but is try to let the word of Christ dwell in me richly. I've memorized certain passages of scripture, and throughout the day I'll try to pull those up and just meditate on them and just preach the gospel to myself as I'm walking from to a meeting or something. I'll just be rehearsing some verses in the Bible. John 15:5, you know, if you remain in me and my words remain in you, you know, ask whatever you wish. Verses like that are very helpful. But again, do I do it every day consistently? No, but I persist.
Okay. Thanks, Dave. Nancy, what about you?
Well, I'm a nurse. I work at the hospital. Even though I have to be at work most mornings at 7, I'm not a morning person. So getting up out of bed is very difficult. Having morning devotions is not for me. I know that I really just pray throughout my whole day. I'm all over the hospital seeing different patients doing minor procedures. And so I pray with patients many times as I get into their rooms and feel God leading me in that way. I always ask permission first, and no one has ever turned me down with that. So I see God definitely coming forward in my everyday work with just about every patient that I seek or need to work with.
That's great. Well, let's drill down a little bit more specifically with this question. So what does it look like for you in a family context to kind of build in this awareness of God's presence?
So I think we talked about the persistence, and I think just taking the opportunities you have and using them, really being intentional about using that. Something I see that happens in our household is it's, you know, everybody suddenly spreads out and, you know, they can go on screens here and there, and all of a sudden I'm like, wait a minute, we're all home.
Right.
But we're not together. I mean, we're together in the same house, but we're not together. But really taking that time to teach the kids to have relationships with one another and building into one another. But I have to say, honestly, it would be really easy to just be like, oh my gosh, it's quiet and everyone's busy and nobody wants me. This is awesome. And it is kind of awesome, but then you realize, wait a minute, this goes so fast. I mean, I feel like Ben went from 0 to 14 in a blink, and the next 4 years is going to be an even faster blink. So taking advantage of that time, and yesterday I was tired and I didn't really want to, but I was like, it is so pretty and sunny outside. William, let's set up badminton. Let's have this time together. And just really being purposeful. You know, it might not be what you feel like. It might be a whole lot easier for me to play a game on my phone or check Facebook. But just knowing that that time is fleeting and to really be purposeful with my time.
Yeah, we've really tried, you know, something as simple as just ending the day with your kids in prayer. You know, when they're really little, it starts out as a very simple prayer where, you know, they just go through it. But then as they get older, say, okay, but pray about something specific that happened in your day, or how could this help you, or how did you see God? And just, no matter how tired you are, going through that simple, small routine every night is another thing that we try to persistently do. We don't, it's not consistent, but persistent.
I know for you guys, when your kids were at home, mealtime was a pretty important time.
Yeah, I found with our kids, even though we have 5 and they span about 10 years, the mealtime was a great time to read the scriptures to them. They would serve up we'd get them served up, and then I would read the scriptures. And we did various things over the years. When they were younger, we used a more of a pictorial Bible. But then as they got older, I would actually read the scriptures. And then in addition, we did scripture memory as a family. We went through something called the topical memory system from Navigators. And I think they have like 72 or 80 references. And we made it about two-thirds of the way through. And again, you know, I come back to the fact it is maybe the goal wasn't to get all the way through. The goal was to have the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Better to let 5 or 6 or 10 verses dwell in you richly than to say, I've memorized 100. The goal is, you know, let the word of Christ come into your life, and that's what transforms you.
That's great. Now, Ellen, even as we talked about this, we realize when we think about investing in family, it doesn't necessarily mean investing in kids.
Right. Mm-hmm. Being single, you know, I don't have kids to invest in, so do I invest anywhere? And the answer is absolutely. You know, you invest in your family still. You have siblings, you have nieces, you have nephews, and you have parents. We as adult children can invest in our parents also. I've been together with a mentor for 30 years and learning different things, and in that time, sharing those same principles with my parents, with my mom especially. And just as she got sick and went home to be with the Lord, I think some of that I shared with her helped to prepare her, that she wasn't as fearful as she could have been. So as adult children, the privilege of investing in your parents is worth it.
I really appreciate how all of you just talked about normal everyday life and the way that you engage one another. But a word that keeps coming to the forefront to me, and you've mentioned it, is that idea of intentionality. You have to be intentional about how you're going to approach each day and how you're going to give God space to really become present and for you to be aware of him. So in the busyness of life where time seems like it just flies, what are some of the things that you do to be intentional, to make space for God?
I think just having him as a priority. If he's not a priority, there's so much else that demands our attention. But just, you know, we were clearly a tremendous priority to him. Mm-hmm. That we deserve, you know, we didn't deserve it, but he deserves for us to make him a priority.
A couple of things. Nancy mentioned she's not a morning person, but she sometimes does work the 7-to-3 shift, and so when she does, we're both up at the same time, and I try to, on most mornings, that might be a couple times a week, go into the bathroom when she's still getting ready, and I'll read a passage of scripture. And then I use the Lord's Prayer as a model, and I'll pray through the Lord's Prayer while she's getting ready. And, you know, as often as we do that, we find that to be quite an encouragement. If that doesn't happen, then on my way to work, I just try to use the Lord's Prayer as a model and pray for lots of people. And that, I find, is pretty helpful each day. But again, some days I don't do that. And, you know, God's love is not altered. He doesn't love us less. He will still help us if we pray 5 hours later. And we call on him for help. God is always there. He's present constantly.
And you said you really find helpful some of the prayers of Scripture.
Yes, thank you, George. And these have been probably one of the most transformative things in my life. I can't stress this enough. There are some key passages, key prayers in the epistles in particular that Paul prayed for specific churches. You'll find them in Ephesians 1, chapter 1, Ephesians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 1, Philippians chapter 1, and then there's some other smaller snippets of scripture like in 1st and 2nd Thessalonians. And I pray these, I go through this regularly, we'll pray them together. And particularly the Ephesians 3 one has helped me to really grasp more fully the fact that God loves me. I can say this, and it's true of all of you too. God loves each of us as much as he loves anyone else. He doesn't love anyone more than he loves each of us. And when you begin to grasp how much God loves you, it's transformative. It's very freeing. It frees you from guilt. It frees you from shame. When you do stumble and falter, as I often do, I can always come back to the fact, I start with the fact that God loves me. And it's these prayers in the scriptures that are very helpful to give you that revelation that you need. As I said earlier in the first service, you know, God's love is infinite, but we don't come to know that infinite love all at once. We come to it by revelation. So God, you know, through life, through prayer, by asking. A big part of Scripture, we're told, is to ask, 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 ask. We're told that repeatedly. Some of the greatest promises in the Bible are attached to prayer. So I would encourage you, you ask. You ask when you walk out the door today. You ask when you're, wherever you go, or doing the laundry, I don't care what you do, you can ask and pray these prayers.
That's good.
No, I just to build on that too, what I find, you know, especially as you go through your Christian walk, and you face difficulties ahead of you, and you're wondering where's God going to be in this? That reminding yourself that you have seen him there before, mm-hmm. is often one of those other things that helps when you need that little push to be more persistent and spend that time. Mm-hmm. It's not clear exactly how he's going to work right now, but you look back on how he has in the past and have that as confidence to, okay, I'm going to keep at this.
That's so good. Well, I want to thank you again just for sharing your story and just different life experiences. Would you help me in thanking these folks? That'd be great. And kind of what I just want to really encourage you to take away is just this whole issue of, so what does this look like for you to be intentional? We've wanted you to hear different stories, different age groups, different life stages, different personalities, just to encourage you in hearing a story to really wrestle with, what does this look like in my life? So for instance, for those of us that are parents, particularly parents with kids at home, what does it look like for us to be intentional in the moments we have, in the routines of everyday life, and now for many of us of school life, what does it look like for us to be intentional in those situations to really encourage our kids to see God, even to ask that question, you know, where did you see God today? And build that into the family routine of what we do. So what does that look like for you to be intentional? And more generally, for all of us, single, married, kids, no kids, whatever, how can we be intentional in recognizing that God really wants to engage with us every day? As I said a moment ago, this recurring promise in Scripture is, I will be with you, I will be with you, I will be with you. So what does it look like for you to live with the confidence that that promise is true? As you think about that for a moment, join me in prayer. So, Father, this morning we've heard different stories. We thank you just for the different people who shared. And Father, I thank you that we've got different people, different personalities, different life stages. So it's not as if everyone has to fit in the same mold. And Father, that's just part of the beauty and grandeur of who you are, that you can engage us in different ways and at different moments in time and in different seasons of life. So, Father, I pray the stories we've heard and the lives that have been shared this morning would just encourage us with the simple truth that you do want to engage with us in everyday life. Thank you that you are pursuing us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Would you stand as we sing?